Okay, good night everyone. My name is Nicole. I think it up like Nicolini, a philosopher who has no hobbies, just ways of life. And well, like you can see in there, today the presentation is Reality for Real, Problematic Perspective in a Virtual World. This presentation will be held in English. That doesn't mean that I don't understand German, that just mean that I have to practice my English skills. But German and English are not my first language, so please don't judge me for saying some words or some pronunciation problems. First of all, thank you very much for staying here. I know that all of you want just go and celebrate the amazing day today, so I don't want to overwhelm you so much. I just want to invite you to play a little bit. And because of that, just pay attention to the next couple of questions that I have for you. So just pay attention. Maybe it's just familiar to you. So.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see.
Well, like I said today, I don't want to overwhelm you, and actually with these philosophical questions by Queen, I would like to start my presentation today. But first of all, my presentation will be here and 35 minutes talk. I divided in prediction, science fiction, and nowadays. And we have 15 minutes to Q&A. But actually, in the Q&A, I don't want just only answer your question. I want to ask one question to you as well, and you have time. To that, what is reality for you or to you? And you can answer later or, I don't know, in the party, whatever you want, or yeah, in the feedback system. So let us start with predictions. And predictions, we have a quite interesting guy, Samuel Butler, and there's a novel, Everyone or Over the Range, that how you can see it is almost after the Industrial Revolution. And on this book, there is a chapter, and this chapter, this name of this chapter is Book of the Machines. And actually, it's really interesting because the book as the Machine is actually a book that Butler fantasized about finding and then burning for the safety of humanity. And here there is some examples that maybe I can read, not from here I can read one. For example, are we not ourselves creating our successor in the supremacy of the earth? Daily adding to the beauty and delicacy of their organization, daily giving them greater skill and supplying more and more of that self-regulating, self-acting power, which will be better than any intellect. And the second one, it is really interesting because here Butler writes, how many spend their whole lives from the cradle to the grave, intending them by night and day. So, here, before that, they say something really important that I didn't read. How many men, or obviously now human beings, at this hour are living in a state of bondage to the machines? And that is quite interesting, because I don't think that we can just talk about reality without talking about digitization and talk about artificial intelligence. There are so many things that are dependent of ourselves that we depend on that. And yeah, I mean, the digital world has put us in somewhat uncomfortable independent situation. So that leads us to the question, our existence and ability to face a world without technology or without electricity, for example. This fact is not new. The crisis of the human and its place in the world has different starting inputs, which is why I would like to go back first, perhaps not so distant, into a key moment in which the human faced the famous fact of the Industrial Revolution. How did the human really have to face the dependence on machinery and the fact of not having to do certain forced labor of the machines would facilitate, and that left time to think. I mean, we have a lot of time to create new objects that give us more free time to create an artificial reality, probably. So, I would like to continue from this point, but now we'll go forward to science fiction. And in science fiction, we have so many interesting examples that maybe some of you are just expecting one in particular, but actually I decided for this, use this majestic scene of Kubrick in his masterpiece 2001, A Space Odyssey. And sorry for the spoilers, but it is necessary. If no one has seen this movie, you should see right now. And I divided this in two, but actually I will put the first scene. You can see the baby gorilla just playing and really curious with this bomb. And for the second one, I will be silent for a minute, because probably you know what it is. It's not too loud. So that's amazing, Mr. Fool. You can draw your own conclusions about it, but as far as I am concerned, it's striking me that humans, even before their evolution as such, as sapiens, always tend not only to create, but also to destroy and use tools for the destruction. And that is also part of the reality. And reality is not just about continuous creation. There is this game of dependence with the object, with tools, with nature, with other human beings, and not only to create and procreate. And there is also this tendency to destroy what is created. So it is quite interesting to know that we are dependent on tools, and even not only on tools, on nature and on the society or other humans or on the sun, on the stars or whatever. So I don't want to stop here because I will go forward to another masterpiece, but this time I don't want to spoiler too much. Blade Runner is a really masterpiece, and here we can find this Voight-Kampff. I just called Voight-Kampff the Turing-Blade Runner test, because it is actually that tends to do the same like this Turing test, just to use the machine to know if one human or one replicate is actually one human being. And the Turing test, as you good know, try to know if one machine is really intelligent or have some kind of human intelligence. But as you may know as well, in 2014, one artificial intelligence just passed this test. So that comes the question, how can be sure if one artificial intelligence passed this test? How can be sure if we pass this test as well, of our own existence, of our intelligence, if we can just clear say we are like machines? So I am really for real, or actually I am just like a simulation, because I'm not sure how to test that. And I put another not interesting for me, but it would be interesting. That is one philosophical approach, actually, one philosophical hypothesis from Hilary Putnam, that we are just brain in a vat. And if we are just brain in a vat, actually that implies that this guy, this scientist, is just outside and he's just playing with us because we just need our brain. Of course, that is really reductionist, because if people like programmers can say, well, that is possible if we take the brain and the body, like the relation with software and hardware, so we can construct one world. But actually, I have just too many thoughts about that in the last days, because that means that this theory actually ignores the fact that we are in one relationship with the world constantly. We are not just ourselves, and that was the problem that with the time Copernicus just say we are not the center of the universe. So you need to know that every time that we interaction here in this room, or with our dog, with our cats, even with animals, we have a kind of answer or response to every single thing that we do in this world, and that affects every single piece and every single details. Many people can say this world is perfect, biology is perfect, and obviously that is the impression. And if you think about just one scientist outside just playing with you, that means that there just need too much information, and you have to create all the probabilities in a universe possible to do that. So I think because of that, I am more part of the embodiment approach. I mean, to know and to feel the body, and to feel like we are present in the world. And with this relation with the world, we are just a little piece in this universe, and the universe is not just about us. And well, keeping with this in mind, I want to move on the last point, probably the more interesting, or not more interesting, but the last point, design as nowadays. So nowadays, there's a lot to say about this, but like I say that in the title from this topic, less reality for real or problematic perspective in a virtual world, what happens with virtual reality? And we can see that 2 months ago, just Apple announced this mixed reality headset. So you can have access to artificial intelligence, to play with artificial intelligence into augment virtuality, I don't know. So it is really interesting that, because this is just the beginning. I think they announced this for 2 months ago, but they will release next year, probably January or February. And on the background, we have another thing. We have on the background the something that makes my keep my attention. This kind of contact lenses that you can see there, and that remembers maybe if you saw this series Black Mirror, that is something like that. I mean, Samsung's patent prevent these contact lenses with built in a camera, and that was 7 years ago. So that means it's just the beginning. Maybe Samsung just are waiting for Apple, but I have a lot of problems with recording things or our every single detail of our lives, because I don't know how much time people have to show videos and to show themselves all the time and what they do. So that is really tricky. And that is really in relation with other topic, mind and body. So sorry if I talk too fast on this topic, but well, probably is interesting, and maybe I will have more time at the end for discussions. And another thing, and another example is one example that comes actually from my experience with virtual reality and playing with reality. So here we can see one room, one virtual playing room, and that's me. And the other room is my sister playing. So I don't play video games, so that will be a little embarrassing for me. But my sister played video games, so you can see the behavior on this video. Maybe I don't know why. Maybe it is too dark. But you can see that I move, because this is the play in the background, just coming these walls, and I went shock. And that's my sister, my little sister, so she don't move, so she, at the end she wins. So on my head, I am asking, what is the beneficial to use these things? There are many people that say if we use virtual reality to move in this world, we can move even more. But actually, if you play a game, if you are a good gamer, you don't play, you don't move at all. You just use the energy. It's just technique. It's just professional technique. So it is quite interesting. At that point, I would like to go a little bit to one conclusion about that, because not only about this topic about playing with reality, with the 3 points, I just write down dependence on certain tools make us understand a completely dependent world from perhaps its beginning. So that the fact that our reality depends also on the use we give to other objects, always creating new realities through invention, distances us from a past where a more intuitive reality was established, in the sense that ignorance and a few tools we had at our disposal make us aware of our surrounding, using the tool of nature as such. But reality cannot be described as a fact or a new natural creation, since other realities comes to us from imaginations, dreams, and hallucinations. So with that, I don't want to say that I have one answer to what is reality. But I have another last question to you, actually, today. And it is this one. It is with one real. It is this. Do you control technology or technology controls you, and when I say you, I speak people who are with the smartphones all the time. So you have to shape how is that difference? Yes, and we have more time to answer your questions and your answers about what is reality to you and if the technology controls you. Thank you very much. Yeah, you can say the questions in German as well if you want. Okay. No.
Okay?
Yep.
Cool. Thank you very much for this interesting talk. You asked the question, what is reality to us or to me?
And yeah.
I wanted to say something about that. For me, reality, it has a lot to do with logic. So when I think about dreams or something, or fantasy books or something like that, there's a lot of things that do not follow the laws of physics like that. So I know that's not the only criterion, but it has a lot to do with logic. Is there a lot of work on that as well in philosophy?
Yes, I think that is. That is almost that most of the scientists think about the logic, but what we do with perception and with people with problems, we can say they are just ill. But what if we are ill and they not? So because most of the people that are ill and they saw things that maybe sometimes are real, maybe sometimes it's less on a kind of Nostradamus, sorry, that just predict the future in some way with this kind of thoughts about the world. So it is really interesting to have that in mind. In philosophy, there's one, like the science from philosophy is analytics, and they play really with logic, but that the problem to use too much logic on that, it is like at the end we have just 1 + 1 is equal 2 and nothing more, or A is always A because it's A. So it is something so reductionist that we have this kind of world from experiential world that sometimes or most of the time we cannot just reduce to logic, and that is something even normal, yeah, for us. I mean, if we have just thoughts about conspiration thoughts, yeah.
Do we have other questions?
Questions or comments?
Okay, so when we're talking about machines and consciousness, do machines have a conscience? Can they be aware of something?
At least that I say with the last news, no. But actually, that's a problem with the Turing test, because if we don't know how conscious is, I mean, we know that one brain needs a lot of connections with neurons and so on, and we can replicate the same, and even in a huge scale with this algorithm, and algorithms are just developing themselves. So there's probably not a consciousness like we know, like a human consciousness, and probably they never will be have that until they have a biological body with memories, and not only memories in our head, or memories in our body, the muscles, memories, and so on. So it is probably, I mean, many people say that after the Homo sapiens comes the transhumanist, like this kind of cyborg, and after the transhumanist comes the not human at all. So that will be the case in the post-humanist. Yeah, probably. Why not? Yeah. There's a question there. I think. Yeah. Admit. Somebody? I don't know. I just saw one hand. It is my perception.
Just a second.
My perception of reality is just not working.
Yeah, I have a comment, or maybe an answer to the question, what is reality for me? And for me to feel like present in the real world, it's super important to like use my senses and feel that. And I think it's super interesting how virtual reality like just uses one or two of our senses, and often. And it's often still convincing enough, but not so convincing that I personally feel like content with it, maybe, to feel real enough, maybe. That's my comment on that.
What do you mean? I mean, with the last say that you said, I didn't understand.
I think I mean that if you are doing stuff in virtual reality or in the internet or some kind of thing in that direction, you mostly use like two of your senses, like hearing, listening, or seeing. Mm-hmm. And for me, it feels convincing for a part of the time, so that I feel like, yeah, I can do this for a while. But it's at some point I think I recognize that this is not real for me, so that's, I think, why it's important for me to feel the other, to feel solid structures, to then to push buttons. Yeah.
Yeah, I get your point. Yeah, actually, there's a problem with too much, even with technology, not only the use of virtual reality. If we just pass with our smartphone, or when we start to identify with one online profile, start with our what we are doing daily, we have huge problems at the end. I mean, problems with empathy. And there are a lot of cases that the use of technology, the increase of use of technology on these days, are just affecting our creativity as well, and our capacity to create a lot of things. So that's the thing that is really dangerous, because on one point, the artificial intelligence will be so powerful that they will not need us at all, because we were like dogs. We don't have one idea of how to deal with the world with what without technology or electricity. So that is the point. Yeah. Thank you.
I would say that human body has a built-in virtual machine which produces sanity by letting him dream. So do you think that this virtual reality that the human needs to actually stay sane is something that can also be employed in a state of being awake and using external virtual reality to, for example, get people to overcome problems and things like that?
So yes, there are actually some experiments the last year, not with virtual reality, but with avatars. I mean, people that they don't feel comfortable with psychotherapy, just saying another person. So the psychologist just used this avatar online, and they can just play with that. But at this point, it is really important that we know that there is someone else, one human being on the other side of the screen that are taking care of this person. And on the case of dreams, I mean, probably we can think about that as well, like we are in a dream, like this Inception movie. That could be a possibility as well, why not? And actually the Indian religions say a lot about that. Just we are the big dream from Shiva. So it is really interesting to think about that. And there's a lot that we have, a lot of information that we can just can trace with virtual reality and with technology. You want to say something?
Are you aware of the film Until the End of the World by Wim Wenders?
No.
You should watch that, because in that it's in the near future, and they develop a technology to record dreams, and people get addicted to watching their own dreams.
Oh wow! Well, people get addicted to watching themselves right now, I guess. Yeah, I am pretty sure that we will see my recorded video. Yeah.
And there's already AI that is able to do brain scanning and recover images that people can convincingly confirm that is the landscapes and things that they actually dreamt about.
Yeah, that is another word. I don't say that reality does just is this state. Dreams are part of our reality as well, but the problem with dreams, what happens when we start just to think about of them like something really serious, like really happened to me, that we can have a lot of problems with others. That is always this crash with the others that makes us happen or thinking about our present. And yeah, that's the thing, that's chicken bite, the narcissism. Okay, I think it's that.
Okay, if there are no more questions or comments, thank you for your talk. Yeah.
Thank you. And just start the part. Thank you very much.